Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Oh yes, indeed. Good evening to you. Good afternoon to you, Patience.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Lovely. I hope your day has been good.
Yes, my day has been good and productive. I hope you had a good day too.
Lovely day too, and I must say productive as well. Thank you so much for asking. Now we continue with our study under the guide entitled, Can We Believe in God, in our Discovery series. Now today's lesson, we want to look into what kind of a God our Creator is. So, what pattern did God use to create men and women, if there was at all?
Yes, there is a pattern that he used, and we find this in the Bible because that's where we learn of God. And so when we look into Genesis chapter 1, where we are told, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, and God says, let us make men in our own image, okay? And then it continues to say, verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Mm-hmm. So that is to say, human beings, okay, are created in the image of God. But then that's not in the sense of the physical qualities, like I have nose and mouth. Because when you read John chapter 4, verse 24, it says that God is a spirit, okay? So that was to say that the mental capabilities that we have, you know, the moral, the ethical, the intellectual abilities that we have are a reflection of who God is. And that's the image that's being spoken about, that our ability to feel, our ability to reason, our ability to think, you know, and want to be good people, all of that is derived from God. So whenever we are thinking or we are imagining or we are reasoning, that is a reflection of who God is. So we get a sense of what God is like, you know. And you can also find this. You can just look at a few verses to demonstrate this. So in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, God says, come, let us reason, you know. And so because he's a reasoning God, if he wasn't reasoning, then, you know, what's happening? And so our ability to reason reflects who he is. So we get a sense and we get a revelation of who God is and what is he like. You look at Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 7, verse 17, I mean, it speaks about, okay, I actually want to read this one. It says that the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. Okay, so I just wanted the part where it says that he will rejoice. So that means he is a God that has emotions. He does not have robots. So when we express emotions, that is all derived from him. So we don't get to decide on our own as if we are robots or there's something that must be clipped and we have emotions. It's because God has emotions and we also have emotions. And even the whole idea of wanting to be good, you know, sometimes you think, yeah, I'm a law-abiding citizen, I'm a good person. That whole desire of wanting to do good and wanting to love other people, that is derived from God because that is who he is. So when you read Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, remember that man who came in and he's like, good teacher, how can I inherit eternal life? And then Christ was like, why do you call me good? Because there's no one good except who? Except God, right? So you get a sense that even the goodness that we thrive, that we want we want to be God, all of that comes from God. So when we ask the question, what is God like? Because we are discussing, you know, the existence of God. Can we believe God? Is God there? Yes, he's there. And all our capabilities, all our emotions, all of those things are a reflection of who we are, of who he is, I mean. So even on the day you think that you're a genius, you have solved this problem, even on the day that you think you've invented something, that's just not you. That's a revelation of who God is. God has given you that because he has that, you know.
Yeah, man. Not easy, but doable. Now, what does the knowledge that we are created in God's image mean for us today? Why does that matter even?
It's very important because, you know, there are a lot of theories about our creation, how we were created. We have the Big Bang Theory. We have, you know, evolution that says we evolved from being monkeys, Homo sapiens, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we follow all of those theories, we lose our sense of identity. We struggle to figure out what our purpose is, because if you evolved from being a monkey, so where are we going as humanity? What is the purpose? What are we doing? But then when we know that God created us, then we go back to God and we ask, so why did you create us? What is the purpose? Where are we going? So we get to learn our identity, our purpose, and our mission from God, because he is the creator. Also because he created us, we get to know how we can treat this very body that he has given us. So we don't have to run around trying to figure out things, because we already have the creator, the designer of this very body that we own, that we have.
Yeah, you know, these are not easy stuff when a patients, and I think it's sometimes it is easy to understand, but to take it into practical, it may not be very easy. I'm remembering Eve, who ended up having a conversation with the creature, uh-huh. And the creature says, "Nah, you, what did he say? Lying there, that you will not be like God, yeah, or something like that." And
yeah,
so
it's, like God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's easy to actually believe that indeed we are not like God, because truly we do not have those powers, eh?
Yes. So
yeah.
Uh-huh. As I was saying, it's easy to believe, you know, everything that people are saying, and that's because we don't trust God, right? And that's how Eve fell, because God simply told them, "Don't eat of this. You are perfect," and everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so the serpent came and said what he said, and so she basically had to make a decision: do I believe what God has said, or do I believe what this other person is saying? And so it's just a matter of decision. And I love that about God, that he has given us free will. He allows people to choose, because he's a God of free will. So then you get to choose, okay. And also remember, we spoke about reason. It's important to reason from cause to effect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to follow the evolution path, then reason, ask questions, mm-hmm. and you will mm-hmm. discover if this is true or not.
Yeah.
And because we can do the same thing with God, right? And that's why God says, come, let's reason. He's not saying we should believe everything that he says without questioning. So you don't question because you want to fulfill your doubts, or you're just a curious person, but you come with the mind set of learning, and God will show you all of those things. So for those who don't believe, and those who don't understand, and understand it's hard, just question so that God can teach you. You know, he is able, he can teach us, and he can show us the path. But if you just choose to believe out of blindness, because some of us, we just throw away the Bible and be like, okay, I don't want to believe this, God doesn't exist. But you didn't actually inquire, you don't want to actually learn, and then make a decision based on evidence. Mm-hmm. Don't just make decisions because somebody said, you know, mm-hmm. go back to the evolution theory from whatever was said, you know, compare what has been said, look at it, and look at what the Bible is saying. I believe that you can find the answers.
Mm. Yeah, we got to look at what the scripture is saying indeed. Now, we are human beings and created in the image of God. We've got personality traits, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. Now, we understand that because we are created in that fashion, God also has a personality. What would you say his dominant trait is then?
Oh, his dominant trait must be love. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, we are constantly seeing that God is love. And there's a verse that I love. It's First John 4, verse 8. Just the last portion of it, where it says, God is love. Okay. And you see this throughout scripture, that how God, the way God deals with humanity, he deals with us with love. You know, if God was selfish and he wasn't loving, I don't think we would be existing right mm-hmm. now, considering mm-hmm. the things that we do on a daily basis, considering the lies that we tell, the sin, the rebellion. But every day God is like, I love you, you know, come as you are. Paul will say that while yet we're still sinners, he loved us, because his dominant trait is love. And when you read, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I like it in the NIV version, where it says that love is patient, love is kind. So just substitute that with God, because we've already established that God is love. So every time it says love is patient, you just put God, and then you get a better revelation of who God is. So then it says that love is patient, meaning God is patient, love is kind, God is kind. It does not envy, because that's not who God is. He cannot envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not dishonor others, and he is not self-seeking. Mm-hmm. Now, I love that because, you know, scripture has constantly showed us that God does not act from a point of selfishness. Mm. He is self-sacrificing. Mm. And that's why his very son had to die for us. Imagine he's dying for your sins, and there are people who are saying, yeah, crucify him. He deserves to die. He's dying for you. He could have just stepped out and be like, you know what, I'm dying. Or he could have created a whole new universe, blot out everything. But it's like, I love those people. Understand, I will do everything so that they can be saved. And that's why John 3 verse 16 says that, for God so loved the world. You know, the world is full of liars and murderers and all of these things that you can think of. But God is saying, I love the world. He didn't say, for God so loved the church, or for God loves the righteous. He loves the world. Everything that is in the world, God loves us. And that's why his son had to die, because he loves us so much. And God has done everything, and he continues to do everything to show us that he loves us, so that we can also just accept that love and reciprocate that love.
And grow from it as well.
Yes. Mm.
Beautiful stuff. Patience Ncube, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fantastic one, and I want to thank you for coming through. But before I leave you, we see many instances in scripture where it's written, God is love.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It means he's love. It means... it simply means that. and I think if we understand the concept of love, that love is a principle, the doing word. Yeah. So God is not in heaven chilling as young and tender. No, he does something to show that he loves us. That's why he does for us. That's why he wakes us up every day. That's why he gives us food every day. You know, sometimes you're not working and you don't understand what's going to happen, and God is like, you know what, I'll take care of you. So the mere fact that he's given us life, he's given us health, he's given us children, he's given us this and that, it's also just a revelation of his love, because his love is not just, you know, something that he says with his mouth, but then his love is more action-oriented more than anything. Mm.
So he feels butterflies every time he sees us?
No, I don't think so. Remember, it's a principle, right? It's a principle of self-discipline.
Okay. Mm.
So every time he looks at us, he just wants to do something, you know, that can make us feel loved. So it's not a thing that you're feeling butterflies and you are blushing, and that doesn't mean anything.
Oh, well, I thought it's love. I mean, really, and... If we have taken this love from God, surely we're expressing it the same way he does.
That's the problem, right? Because we have fallen. Our understanding of what love is not the same understanding with what God says love is, right? We think love is, you know, those emotions that you feel. You can't sleep at night. You're thinking about that person. You're literally just losing your mind.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at God, for God, love is sacrifice. Love is doing anything to make sure your soul is saved. And sometimes God will have to take away things from your life so that your soul is saved. That's what love is. But the love that we have for one another, that is the love that will indulge us. We even indulge in sin because we want this love. It is the love that sometimes hurts other people. God does not hurt us with his love. So there are misconceptions, because we have fallen into sin, and we are no longer reflecting God in his true image. And that's why we have the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, that tells us what love is. Because it says that love does not keep a record of evil. Mm. Remember, even God will say, when you confess your sins, I will blot them out. I will not remember them. What do we do? I will remind you what you said last week. You're just chilling. I'm like, yeah, remember what you said. But you apologize. So already you can tell that the love that we have and the love that God has is not the same. So we have misconceptions of who God is and what love is. And that's why we need to learn from God. That's why Paul would say we must have the mind of Christ. We need to be restored back to his image. Then we will know what love is.
Yeah, very lovely. I think we could talk about God's love until the cows come home, patience. But we got to end it there, man. We got to end it there because, I mean, it's a big subject. God's love is a massive subject. I mean, that he sacrifices his only begotten son that we may live. I mean, what manner of love is this? But hey, we're going to leave it here. It's been a blessing to talk to you. I hope that you go ahead and enjoy your evening.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Lovely. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.